Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Georgia!
Hello, how are you?
Well, I'm on a big high because I got to see you yesterday.
I know, we're so lucky, aren't we, that we can, it's just nice to feel a little bit back to normal.
I know. Although it's funny because people are like, what, you haven't seen each other for 4 months? But we speak on the phone about 10 times a day and
we're always
each other. I mean, I speak to you more than I speak to my husband.
Yeah, absolutely the same. In the WhatsApp messages, you're always at the top of my WhatsApp list. And that's how you know, isn't it? That's the person you speak to the most.
Yeah, the favourite person. How are you? How's Judgy James?
Judgy James is all right, being a little bit less judgy this week.
Oh, good.
I think he needed to get back to work, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think it's doing him the world of good, and having some time apart is doing us the world of good. So that's good. How's everything your end?
Everything's fine, actually. I'm just working so much. Obviously, I've just come to the end of another week covering Matt. So, well, today's my last day. So that's really nice. And then I've got a month on drive time. So I'm doing every single day from 4 until 7 p.m. So that's a month without putting the kids to bed. But so that's the only thing I can think. You know, it's like, it's so amazing and I love it so much. But then all the mum guilt creeps in.
But then you've got other time with them as well.
I know.
And also think about, in the grand scheme of things, it's a month. Like, it's not like 5 years. Do you know what I mean?
And you're absolutely right. And as soon as I get in anywhere, I just creep upstairs and smell them. I'm like that. Try not to wake them, but needing to hear them.
I know. Yeah, just, I love watching kids sleep. Is that weird?
No, it's so beautiful.
I literally love it. I don't think there's anything better than seeing kids sleep. Even if they've been absolute horrors all day, then you see them sleep and you're like, oh.
All is forgiven, you little chick.
Yeah, now I know why I love you.
You've got a nice weekend plan, because aren't you about to drop your kids over to your mum and dad for the weekend?
Yes, we are. They are going to have them, overnight, and it's going to be really nice. I think James and I obviously been at home with the kids solidly for, you know, 4 months or whatever, with no breaks, and he's just gone straight back into work. Normally he'd have a summer break, and then now he will not have a break again until June next year.
Wow.
So it is long for him, and I think we're just going to try now and really make the most of the weekends while we've got them, because come September, when the football season starts again, we won't have weekends again. So definitely for the next few weekends, we're going to try and do stuff together on our own and make the most of it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's kind of all we can do, because things are changing so much, and the world is such a funny place at the moment. I don't know about you, but every time I open the news up, or, you know, see stuff about travel bans and, you know, anti-Semitic behaviour, and people are inciting hate and all, it's like it's gone bonkers. But I feel like we can only think about today. That's
exactly
done right. I think it's put people right in the present. You can't plan. Don't know what's going to happen. You know, all we've got is really just trying to be kind to people, spreading love, and just, you know, cracking on with the moment.
Yeah, just be nice. You know, just be nice to everybody. Try and enjoy every day that you have with people that you love. I mean, you can't plan. And I think that kind of leads us nicely into the topic that we're going to be chatting about today, because I think we both had quite different experiences when it came to deciding to have another baby and whether or not we wanted to have another baby after our first, introducing siblings, all of that kind of thing. Because so you got pregnant with Kit, didn't you, quite quickly after you had Luna?
Yeah, so today we're going to be discussing when is the right time to have another baby. So you've got your first, but when do you introduce number two? When do you start trying? And then if you've got two, do you go for a third? Do you go for a fourth?
Exactly.
So we're going to be talking all around that today. So for us, for me, it was slightly different because, I mean, people know my story in terms of my fertility issues, my age. I was obviously a bit older, you know, what my sister was going through at the time. So I knew that I wanted to have my kids quite quickly. And I was absolutely, I guess, freaked out, overjoyed, terrified. But it was the best thing ever when I found out I was pregnant with Kit, because it was quite soon. I mean, Luna was only 9 months old. And
I remember it. Well, I think we were shooting with the kids and you came in and you told me and you were literally shaking. You were like actually shaking. And I remember like at that time, my head was not in having another baby at all. Like it hadn't even crossed my mind, to be honest. And there you were, you know, with a 9 month old, Axel and Luna crawling around, and then with another baby on the way.
Yes. And I think people often talk about that moment that they are so happy that it's happened, but they're also so freaked out. And we always get asked this question, you know, when is the right time? When is the right moment? I just don't think there is ever a right moment to have a second child. I really don't. Because you know what? In a way, it's easier because you know exactly what you're going to get because you've been through it. The first time, it's a bit like being chucked in a freezing cold river. You're like, is it exhilarating? Is it going to kill me? Like, you just don't know what's going to happen. The second time around, you're like, yes, I know because I've done it before. But at the same time, there's no, you don't get to nap because you've got a toddler or a, you know, an 18 month old to deal with. So there's no rest, there's no let up, is there? It's just
constant. No, there's no breaks.
What was the hardest part for you?
Well, to be honest with you, I spoke about this quite a lot. I'm an only child and I was pretty happy just having one baby. Like I just was happy with that. You know, I'd sort of done, you know, we had Axel and everything. We'd got to that stage as well. He was like 2.5. Things were becoming so much easier. Do you know what I mean? So much easier. You know, there were no more nappies. You know, it just, life was, we're sort of getting our life back on track again, in terms of not feeling so tied down to the routine and all that kind of stuff. And James and I discussed it, and James is one of four, and he sort of had said he would love to have more children, but he was totally happy in the same way that I was, just to have one. You know, he was like, you know what, if you want to have one, then that's, you know, I'm absolutely fine with that as well. In my head, I've always wanted to have more children and have, you know, for them to have siblings and stuff. But, you know, it's cool. Like, if that's not what you want, that's not what you want. Yeah. And then obviously we got pregnant with Gigi and it was a complete surprise. It really, really was a complete surprise. I remember,
we've got to talk about this because that is hysterical. That whole process of us finding out that you were pregnant was so funny. When you turned up, you turned up to where we record the podcast normally before COVID, and I just took one look at you and I was like, are you pregnant? And you were like, what? My mum has just asked me the same thing. You had it in, you sort of had this like exhausted, like black eye, but like this sort of greyish tinge to your colour. I mean, it was attractive.
That's exactly what my mum said. And it really annoyed me. I was like, oh my God, like why does everyone keep asking me if I'm okay? I'm fine. And I remember leaving the house that morning, like really annoyed with my mum, because I was like, for God's sake, like how dare she say that to me? I'm just about to leave the house and she's basically telling me I look grey and nothing wrong with me. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe she's done that. And then you said it to me and I was like, oh God, okay, now I need to think about this. Maybe the two of you are right. And then we went and got a pregnancy test, didn't we?
We literally felt like, I mean, it was like something out of a movie. We, we were like, a couple of pregnancy tests, please. And they're like, you've got to get them from the aisle. I was like, shit, I'm so out of practice of this. And then we went into Byron Burger, went down to the loo, and I was like, right, go in. And George was like, okay. And you weed on the stick and then you held it
up the wrong way.
I hid it up my sleeve. I felt like a teenager. I literally felt like a teenager because I saw this the man that worked in Beierenberger and I hid it up my sleeve. I don't know why. I don't know what he was going to do, tell me off or something. And then we didn't know, did we? And you had to go off to work. So then I went home and I was at home by myself and I did a test and obviously realised it was positive. And I just stood there in the kitchen like, oh my fucking God. Oh my God. Like, this is so not what I had planned for this year or for any year, to be honest.
What do you say now? I mean, look, I'll ask you the question. How do you feel about it now? And could you imagine life without Axel?
No. No, not at all. And it was definitely the right time as well. Like, I feel like for us, we probably couldn't have planned it better in terms of like him going to preschool and all of those things.
Yep.
And if we'd have tried to plan it, it wouldn't have happened, would it, like that? Mm. So, yeah, I mean, everything does happen for a reason. And, yeah, I'm so happy that we did have her obviously now, but in terms of like siblings, like I didn't ever think about that before. I didn't have brothers and sisters, so I didn't really understand the whole sibling relationship and stuff, and now I see it, I just think it's just amazing.
I reckon it softened you up a little bit as well, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Not that you were a hard-nosed bitch or anything, Georgia. What it's done is made you see the bond between Axel and Gigi, and it's like, you know, you now understand what it's like because you can hear what it's like to have a sibling. So look, it's not for everybody. Some people decide one child. One of my best friends, Kaz, she's like, we've got Albie, you know, that's all we need. I don't want any more. She's a little bit older and she's like, we're complete, our family's complete, and that is absolutely fine. However, if you bring it through for a second, let's have a chat around that, because hopefully we can lift the lid on a little bit of it.
Should we get to the question?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so this one is from Luxurious Lux London.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, me too. The age gap between the two, is it hard? Do you want to kick off with this one, Zoe?
So I guess in a nutshell, the answer is yes, it is hard. There's only 19 months between them. So I guess the cons are, you know, you are dealing with a young baby who's just learned to walk and who's very much still in nappies, and you've also got a newborn.
Yeah.
So Luna required a serious level of amount of attention, and so did Kit. So me trying to split my time between the two of them, making sure that I wasn't just putting Luna to the side. Well, I mean, I would never do it anyway, but I also couldn't do it because she was still kind of, you know, 18 months old, tottering around, you know, bumping into things. You know, and it's like then you've got a newborn to look after. So that side of it is definitely, definitely hard. I think you're still so shattered from coming through the first 18 months of being a new mum to then, you know, have to deal with your pregnancy and then give birth and then go through the newborn stage again so soon. I mean, I remember once it was, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning. Kit wasn't sleeping. You know, he was kind of 8 weeks, 9 weeks old, something like that. And I was in there just shh, like dog tired. Then I heard Luna, she was crying. And I was like, this is a nightmare. Those moments really pushed me to the edge, actually, if I'm very honest. And then the plus side of it is you kind of, you're so practiced because you've just been through it. So you know exactly what you're doing. You haven't come out the other side. So actually you haven't seen what real life is like. You're still very much in that baby phase. So you're kind of like, well, I might as well just get back into it again. And the bond between them, there was only a very short period. I'd say the first, I don't know, 10 months or 11 months when they really couldn't play together. As soon as Kip was walking, they could run around together. Luna was really looking after him. They're into similar things. And now people think they're twins. I mean, they're basically the same height. It's like, you know, and they're the best of friends. They do everything together. Yes, they fight and Kit bites her and she pulls his hair and does all that kind of stuff, but actually generally it is lovely seeing them together now.
It's like short, isn't it? It's like short-term pain for long-term gain.
And they're only going to be 1 year apart at school, so how nice is that? Like, I love having my older sister at school. We were 2 years apart and we were like each other's protectors, you know. We really looked after one another.
Yeah, no, it is so nice. And it's nice for them to be going through kind of all the same things at the same time. Like as you go forward, you'll know one secondary school and then the next one will be at secondary school and then they'll be doing it together. And I just think, yeah, I mean, there's lots of positives to having a small age gap, isn't there? Loads.
Yeah. Mrs. Reese, hello to you. We love her as well. She always asks great questions. How do you prepare a toddler for baby number two? Go on, Georgia.
Yeah, so Axel was just about to turn three when Gigi was born. There's like, you know, just under 2-3 years between them. And we spoke to Chris and Rose from Expect the Best in the lead up to this, because I shared it, you know, quite openly. That was my main concern about having another baby, was how Axel was going to adapt to that and how it would affect him and stuff. So we were quite, you know, we did really plan out our approach in how we were going to tackle it. So in the months leading up to Gigi's arrival, we changed his bed before she arrived, and sort of settled him into a new room and a new bed and all that kind of stuff. And then we would talk about Gigi coming, and we was talking about buying her a gift when she came, and that she would maybe get him a gift when she arrived, and all of that kind of stuff. We speak about her quite a bit, but not so much that he was like, oh my god, shut up. And then when he came to see us at the hospital, I made sure I wasn't holding Gigi, and I'd speak to him, and I was speaking to him first, and then Gigi had a present for him, which to this day he's still like, how did Gigi know to get me a Hot Wheels ramp? And I'm like, well, you know, she was in my tummy when we were in the toy shop. She must have heard. And he's still like very, you know, suspicious about it, but he still loves the fact that she did that. And also he bought her like a couple of comforters, and he loves that she uses them every day. So there's definitely, I mean, I know it's materialistic and it's superficial or whatever, but buying each other a gift.
No, I think that's right.
I think for little kids, it's almost like breaks the ice, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think that's really good, Georgia, there, actually. I think you've like, yeah, you've nailed it with the tips there. I think talking, but not talking too much, you know, making them feel part of the process, whether that's like going out to buy new baby, some baby grows or some muslins, or getting them to choose out little bits and pieces for them. Help at getting your toddler to kind of help as much as you can, depending on the age of the toddler, with like, you know, preparing the nursery, or if you're, you know, you've got a next to me crib, or just kind of, and also getting them involved with maybe making them a card on arrival, rather than, you know, if you don't have the finances to go out and buy a present, you know, ask your toddler to help you make a card, so that when
draw a picture,
and then you could probably make a card from baby to your toddler, things like that, just making them feel part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then further down the line, we found, because Axel was absolutely fine until Gigi was about 6 months old, I think. And when we started praising her for doing things, you know, like she'd sit up on her own and we'd be like, oh my God, look, oh, she's clapping. And then that's when I noticed like a little bit of jealousy. And now we sort of changed the discussions around what she's doing. We'd be like, oh, well done, Gigi, that's really good. Axel, did you teach her that? And he'll be like, oh yeah, I did. So now it becomes, rather than a negative to him that she's getting loads of praise, he's also getting praise because he thinks that he's taught her how to do it. And now in his head, if he's, you know, if he does something clever, she's going to copy him and he likes that. Yep. So yeah, I think it's just always having that awareness, isn't it?
Definitely.
That there might be a little bit of jealousy, and that's actually completely normal anyway.
We'll be right back after the short break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The So welcome back. Back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Where were we?
Planning on having baby number two. Baby number one is baby is one right now. Possible to get two babies to nap at the same time? It can be done. It's difficult, but it can, Luna and Kit used to nap at the same time, and we managed to get that for a year until we got a nap. So that it can happen. It doesn't happen every time because one might wake up and the other one might disturb the other one even. But like, if you do, what I used to do was get Kit down, tell Luna to go and sit on her bed with a story. So I'd leave her with a book which she loved, and then put Kit down, make sure that he was sort of settled as much as I can, shut his door if he had to cry out for a bit. Then I would read Luna a story, I'd settle her, she would go to sleep. Then if I needed to go back to Kit, I could do it that way round.
Yeah.
I think it's always best to get the baby off first and make sure that the toddler's just chilling in their room.
Yeah, definitely for naps. I think we had a bit of crossover with Axel still having a nap, but he dropped it quite soon after Gigi was born, which is annoying. But we still do downtime.
Yeah,
I know. We still do downtime so that we do get a bit of a break. Agnes, not having a sibling, had hyperemesis and a 40-hour long labour with the first.
Oh, my gosh. Poor you, Agnes.
Yeah. I mean, do you know what? I've said it so many times, but I'm fine being one. It really hasn't affected me too much. I think my mum was probably very conscious about the fact that I was an only child. So I went to lots of clubs. I had lots of friends outside of school. You know, I went to nursery from quite a young age, all of those kinds of things to make sure I socialised. I'm fine with it. So I wouldn't worry too much.
No, Agnes, I'd completely echo that, actually. There is absolutely nothing wrong. In fact, it's amazing. You've had one baby. You had a horrendous time the first time around. If you don't want to go through it again, your child is going to be absolutely fantastic. We'll make really close bonds with their friends. We'll probably have another family that, you know, is in like a child, a best friend who's then they spend a lot of time with that family. Like, you just make connections elsewhere with children, and actually I think you make deeper connections with other kids because you don't necessarily have it at home. Having one child is absolutely amazing. Do whatever you feel you want to do and don't be pressured by anyone else.
How to sleep train when you have baby one around. How to do bath time with two under two.
Oh my God, yes, I'm a pro at this.
Okay. Yes.
So many failed attempts. I just got it wrong so many times. Okay, this is what I do. And sometimes I still have to do this because obviously sometimes I've got three under seven. You know, it's quite a lot with Kit running around and headbutting things, and Luna thinks it's hilarious to like show me her bum while she's like running up and down the hall. Like, it's just a nightmare. It's organization. So when they're having their dinner, I leave them there and I go upstairs and I'm like, right, you're in charge, Isla. You know, they might be watching something on the telly or just kind of chatting around the table. I go upstairs, I lay out their pajamas on Kit's bed. So everything's there, Ulfie's there, the bath is on. I then go downstairs, get them upstairs. By the time we've all come upstairs, the bath's ready. Undress them all whilst having to like, I get Isla in first, then I put Luna in, then I'm obviously Kit last because he's the one that's so naughty and just doesn't want to come near me. And then I've already made his bottles, so I've got his bottles there ready to go. So you literally have to plan everything around bath time, because if you've got them in the bath, I never leave them alone in the bath. It's just my weird thing. So I just have to know that once I start taking them out, everything is there and I'm not having to go to drawers or having to go back downstairs to get the milk. And then it's, you know, Isla then stays up a bit later. But then for me, it's literally do the stories, get them into bed, and they're dust by 7 o'clock.
When Gigi was first born, that I was so scared about doing bedtime on my own. And I found that, similar to you, like obviously organisation, making sure when we went upstairs for a bath, I had the bottle and I had everything upstairs. What I used to do was put Axel and Gigi both, we'd sit on my bed and I'd give Gigi her milk. Like when I was breastfeeding, obviously I was feeding her or bottle for a bit later on, and then Axel used to just cuddle in while I was feeding her, and quite often he used to fall asleep like while I was feeding her. If not, then obviously I'd put Gigi down, settle her into her next to me, and then I'd take him to his bedroom, get him sorted, and then obviously, like you said, if I had to go back to Gigi, I had to go back to Gigi. But yeah, I think doing everything in one room first off, getting them all ready in one room is the way to do it. And then putting them down, I think youngest first.
I'm going to be honest with you, I have all of their stuff for bath time laid out. It's already done, you know, and it's 10:30 on a Friday morning. You know, I do that after I get them undressed before we go downstairs. I then lay their pyjamas, put Olfie out, get everything, you know, the moisturiser.
Yeah.
It just helps me. Otherwise, I go mad looking for stuff.
Yeah.
I just, that's, you know, I can't turn up to a podcast on time, but I can get my kids' stuff laid out.
That is actually such a good tip, because I guess you're there anyway. Like when you're getting them dressed in the morning, you're there with all their stuff to get them ready for bed. That's a very good tip.
Thank you.
Claire, how to overcome a traumatic first birth so it doesn't overwhelm your second pregnancy? Oh, well, I hear you. We both hear you. I had a very traumatic first birth and it definitely stayed with me for quite a long time, longer than I thought, actually, Claire. But I think when you are, well, firstly, you need to take time to heal, because mentally and physically, I'm not sure how far you are postpartum, but it just depends. It took me about 8 months, I think, to feel kind of normal again. And by that point, I was nearly pregnant. So I had about a month of like, woo! And then I was like, gosh, I got to go through it. But you know what? I think you've got to keep in your head that your first labor is not going to be the same as your second one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really different experience, and you will be able to take all of your learnings from your first one into your second one and maybe do things differently. But also, it's a different baby, it's going to be a different setup, it might be a different hospital. Like, all of those things are going to be, they're all changeable. So I think you've got to just keep that in your head. It's not going to be the same.
No, and just, like, you know, take any sort of learnings from your first pregnancy and birth and use them for your second, but just know that no two births are the same, and know that it can be completely different the second time round. It's so hard to tell someone not to worry, isn't it, because the worry's already there. But I think anyone you speak to has a completely different experience the second time round, so yeah, I wouldn't worry too much. Lou, move toddler out of nursery before baby arrives, or just wait till 6 month plus baby needs it?
What will you go first, Georgia?
I personally think to do it before. Just obviously speaking to Chris and Rose, expect the best. I think it's better to sort of get them settled into their new normal before the baby arrives, and then they're not blaming them for taking things away from them, especially if you're going to give them, the new baby, their old bed or their old cot or whatever. They won't feel like that. I mean, we moved house 6 months after Gigi was born, so there was lots of change for Axel and it was absolutely fine. But I think in an ideal world, it's good to get them settled before the new baby arrives.
I agree with you. And then they don't feel like they're being shunted out for the new baby. What you could do is make it feel like it's like a big, exciting new move for them. Be like, you're really big now, you're really grown up, so we're moving you into a big, you know, grown up girl or boy's room so that you can have more space, and we've got you a special bed. And, you know, I say that to Luna, it was only the IKEA day bed. We were like, look at your special bed. She was like, wow. It's just from IKEA, babes. So I think you can make a real thing of it and like really kind of say to them, or whatever they're into, you could just go on Amazon and maybe get like some stars, or we've got this amazing, if it's a little, we like Kit loves dinosaurs, and we got all those kind of stickers that we put on the wall, and we've got like a height chart for her, and just little things to make their room really feel like their room. I think get them involved in it, and then they're not like, oh, the new baby's here, I've got to move out of my room. Make sure that they're already in their room, and then they won't feel bad.
Absolutely.
What about, will either of you have any more children?
No
thanks.
No. I mean, I've said it a couple of times, haven't I? Oh, you know, I understand how, like, you know, why people have a third, because then, you know, the newborn stage is so lovely. But I really do feel like we're coming out the other side of all the hard stuff now. Gigi's, you know, over one, and I feel like I'm getting back to my normal self again.
Yeah. Don't feel shame around saying that, Georgia. It's good.
Yeah, no, I do. I think we've got two happy, healthy, lovely children, and I'm more than happy with that.
Yeah, and I think that we would have had a third, but we've already got a third, you know.
Yeah.
I think I would have wanted to go through it again. But we, you know, our family's complete. We've got Isla. Like, it's not, you know, she might not be with us. We have 1 week on, 1 week off. But that's three children to look after. That is me done. Plus, Dawson's had a nip, hasn't he? I've got his tiny balls in my handbag. I'm everywhere with me.
Maybe your next husband.
Yeah, the next husband. He can impregnate me.
I mean, that's why I'm only having two, just in case I find someone else. And then, you know, I've still got room for a third. I am joking, Georgie James.
What is the youngest you would have siblings share a room? Love the podcast. That's from Jade. Thanks, Jade.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a really good question.
I don't know. The youngest, I'd have them share a room. Well, I guess, I mean, I could probably put Axel and Gigi in the same room now, because we might have to do that soon, because we're obviously doing work and stuff upstairs at the moment in our house, and Gigi's room is up next, and then we're doing a loft, so there will come a time when those two will have to share a room, or she'll have to share a room with us, and we keep sort of debating it, whether it's easier for her to come in with us or easier for her to go in with him. But we've been sharing a room with Axel for so long now that we really just want to be on our own, so it will be that Gigi will share with Axel. So I will let you know how that goes down.
Good luck with that. I think if you can get to a point where your youngest can settle themselves, and I know you can't ever guarantee this. I'm not saying, you know, I don't think you can ever say it's like a light switch moment that at 2 years old they're going to sleep through the night. But if you can get to a place where, like, for example, Luna shares a bedroom with Isla, and even though sometimes she'll wake up Luna because she's scared or there's a spider or it's too dark, or last night her nightlight was too bright. It's like, too bright? Or are you scared of the fucking dark? Like, what? You know, generally the two girls sleep really well together, and actually Luna's more settled when Isla is there because she's got a little mate in the room. Now, sometimes I sleep Luna with Kit, like if we're at various places, and Luna, and they sleep really, really well together, but Luna wakes him up early, because obviously she likes to wake up at 5:30 because she's insane. So, but in terms of actually sleeping through, you know, touch wood, they're at that age now where Kit's kind of 2 and 4 months and Luna is nearly four, that's fine. I think if you can get to the place where they're not teeny weeny babies that maybe need feeding through the night, because then you're going to disturb your older child, then maybe look at around 2, 2.5.
Yeah, well, you say that, but Gigi now, I would be happy with it, I think. I think if anything, No. If anything, Axel would wake her up. She's been pretty settled, you know, for quite a long time.
We're going to have a shit night's sleep tonight.
I know, why am I saying this? What the hell? I should have said, oh no, I won't, because she won't be here.
Oh yes!
Yeah.
Go on, take the next question.
I feel knackered now. Will a second kill me? Just take all the help.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. When you have a second, I think you've learned from the first, you can't do everything by yourself anyway. And you just need to, accept all the help. You know, like with your older one, there'll be so many people who might want to take them to the park or whatever. In the past, you might have not wanted to let them, but they will love it. They will absolutely love going out for days with other people and, you know, just getting entertained, I guess. So I'll just accept all the help.
It is, I promise you, it's not going to kill you. I feel you, but I feel like you need to try, and this is what I try and do, even though I do go mad all the time from it, try and take it in kind of small bite-sized portions. So like, what's that phrase, this too will pass? I mean, it's like, it all comes to an end. It just feels really intense. At times, so if you can kind of look at it, especially if you've got a newborn, just take it sort of week by week. Yes, it will be tiring, but I think, like Georgia said, get as much help as possible. You know, get your elder child out of the house, so that when baby does nap, you can do it. And actually, there'll be something built in you the second time round where you think, I can't nap because I've got so much to do, because, you know, my toddler's going to come back, or however old your second is. But actually, you need to think of it as the first time round. You need to get rest when you can.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, not just for the new baby, but for your older child as well. So absolutely, it's even more important. There are so many questions, and we're not going to have time to answer all of them on this episode. Otherwise, it will be about 2 hours long. So I think, should we come back to these questions? We're going to save them all down, and we will do a part two of this episode.
Yes. I'm like, we've got about 100 questions here to get through, and we don't have the time to do it, but we are going to come back to it, like Georgia said. But as for today, we would love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. Please spread the word about Made by Mamas and these conversations. As Georgia kind of, she puts out across Made by Mamas, is just to say, please send us photographs where you're listening to the podcast as well. We love seeing it.
Yeah, we absolutely love that. And really thank you for sending all your questions in, because without your questions, we wouldn't be able to make this podcast. So yeah, we really appreciate it. And any suggestions for topics, please do send them over to us at Made by Mamas or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman. And we will see you on Tuesday.
We'll see you then.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.